Okay, so just to speak out briefly the halachas that we discuss in the third parak of Moed Katan, there are basically, we're discussing that you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed, and you're not allowed to observe Avelus on Chol HaMoed. So now we're going to go through in this parak, we're going to say there are various exceptions to those rules, that in general, you're not allowed to shave, launder, write, or observe Avelus, but there are certain extenuating circumstances or certain kinds of Avelus that are acceptable on Chol HaMoed. So the first Mishnah tells us that anybody who wasn't able to shave on Chol HaMoed because of an onus, for example, he got back from a business trip from overseas, or he got released from captivity, or he got released from prison, or he had a cherem not to shave, and that he just got released from that cherem, or he made a neder, and he just got released from that neder, or he was a nazir, and he couldn't shave before, and now he can, or he's a mitzvah, and he couldn't shave before, and now he's supposed to. So all these examples are things where the people couldn't have done these things before Yom Tov, and so because they were an onus, they're allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Similarly, for kibbutz, for laundering on Chol HaMoed, it's a similar idea, and that is that a person wasn't able to do laundry before, they just got back from a business trip right before Yom Tov, or on Chol HaMoed, or they just got released from captivity, or they just got released from prison, or they had a cherem on them, or they had a neder of some sort that they just got Shelus Chachamim for, or they have things that they could have laundered before and they got dirty now. For example, like hand towels, or the towels, or the cloths that the barbers use, or the cloths or the towels that they use when they get out of the bath, or if we were dealing with a zav or a zava or a nid or yoldos, all those people, or anybody who just became tahara and needs a new change of clothing, all those people are permitted to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. For writing, we say that you're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. However, if there are extenuating circumstances where there's a loss at stake, so then there are heterim to write on Chol HaMoed. For example, writing up a kedushin, we're nervous that somebody else is gonna catch this girdle if you don't. So you're allowed to write up a shtar kedushin or the other documents that are associated with the marriage, or divorce documents or receipts, because we're nervous that the lova is not gonna get. Now is when he has money available, or daitiki, we said, is like when the shchimira is on his deathbed and we need to write up what he's saying, or if someone is promising to give a big generous gift and you're nervous that he's going to back down, or a prosbul, that's the document that you hand over to Bezin, or other various documents like igros shuman, igros mazon, or the document that indicates the chalitza was performed, or that minyan was performed, or the documents that indicate which dayanim are being selected for two litigants, or pretty much any other verdict or that a court issues, or some other sort of decree that's made by the government. So all these things are examples of where there's a loss at stake, and so you're allowed to write up these items. Similarly, you're not allowed to write up shtar chov on Chol HaMoed unless there's a person you don't trust and he desperately needs your money, or the scribe needs money in order to be able to pay for Yom Tov. So then you have a hetter to write. And the chumrah of not writing on Chol HaMoed goes so far that you're not even allowed to write tzfarim. You're not allowed to write tzfarim. You're not allowed to write tefillin or mezuzos on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to edit those tzfarim. The one leniency that we do have is from Rabbi Yehuda, who basically says, actually, if it's for personal use, if you need the parshas for your tefillin or for mezuzos, so then you're allowed to. Or spinning the strings that you use for your tzitzis, that's acceptable if you do that using a shinoi. Okay, that was the first part discussing the isser of shaving on Chol HaMoed, doing laundry on Chol HaMoed, or writing on Chol HaMoed. The last part of the parak is devoted to the various forms of avelus on Chol HaMoed. And the idea of Chol HaMoed is that if a person started observing avelus and they're 3 days into their avelus, so then Yom Tov comes and it cancels the rest of their shiva. Not shloshim, but shiva. If a person started observing the shloshim period, in other words, that they observed a full 7 days of shiva, and then they observed the first day of shloshim, so then we say that the Yom Tov would come and cancel the rest of the shloshim. That's as far as Yom Tov is concerned. As far as Shabbos is concerned, Shabbos is a different story. Shabbos doesn't cancel avelus. In fact, Shabbos contributes towards the minyan. So if a person started counting 2 days, and now Shabbos of their Avelus, they've observed 2 days of Avelus, and now Shabbos comes, Shabbos is considered to be day 3 of their Avelus, because there are certain things that they are observed over Shabbos for Avelus. Okay, that's for Shabbos versus Chol HaMoed. or Yom Tov for that matter. Then the question is, what about Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur? That's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer said that once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Shavuos has a status like Shabbos for Avelos. So Shavuos doesn't cancel Avelos. Shavuos, in fact, contributes towards the number of the Shiva, let's say. Rabbi Galil says Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have a status like any other Yom Tov, and the Chacham disagree. They say, actually, everyone's wrong. Shavuos has a status like any other Yom Tov, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have a status like Shabbos. Then there's a question of what kind of practices of Avelos. We say generally Avelos does not apply in Chol HaMoed, but there are certain practices that are done on Chol HaMoed. And we basically say that tearing a person's garments or exposing the shoulder or supplying the suda's havra'a, the suda that the close friends would give to the Avelim for the first meal after the Kavura, so those things can be done if the Avelim are observing Avelos for one of the Zion Krovim, the seven closest relatives, the father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, or spouse. We said that typically they used to flip over their beds when observing Avelos, but for Chol HaMoed, you do not flip over the bed. The Sudas Avar is provided on a bed that's upright, that's erect. And then we mentioned a general takana that they made that we don't want aniyim who can't bring over food on elegant trays. We don't want them feeling bad, so we want everybody to bring over, whether you're wealthy or not wealthy, everyone has to bring over the food in a similar basket, in some simple run-of-the-mill basket. And we don't say Birkas Avelim on Chol HaMoed. What people do is they form the two rows that the Avelim pass through back from the Kfura, and people give Nechama. But the Birkas Avelim of going into the street and everyone gathering around and giving Birkas Avelim, so that we don't do on Chol HaMoed. Then we talked about towards the end, that they used to have this custom that typically they would leave out the beer. The beer would be left out in order to move people to give Divrei Hesped. So that's not done on Chol HaMoed. When it comes to women, by the way, says the Mishnah, women are never left out in their beer. The beer is never left out because that's not considered to be respectable for the mace. Then the final part of the parak is devoted to the women used to do one of three things at the Kvura. They would either be singing dirges, which we say is something that they all sang together, or they would be clapping their hands together or on their thighs, or they would be singing kinos, which is also like a wailing that was done in tandem. And so the Mishnah says that on Chol HaMoed, women can do this singing of the dirges, which is called the me'anos, but they do not do the clapping. Rabbi Shmuel says the ones who are closest to the coffin can be the ones who do this the clapping. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, we say that they can do the singing of the dirges, they can do the clapping, but on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, on Purim, on Chol HaMoed, all those days, they don't do the kinos. They don't do the singing in tandem. It's a little bit more of an intense form of Avelos. Once the Kavura is done, and we're dealing with these holiday-oriented days, like Chol HaMoed, so then nothing, no Inoy, no singing of the dirges, and none of the clapping is done. Okay.